I love data. I think data is superior to experience. You know, I don't want anecdotal, I want facts. And if we can't measure it, why are we doing it, right? So I think that's what's huge with even nutrition and the cow eating and just the cow in general. I mean, we have so much information on her. It's challenging, and that's what I like.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Get an exclusive update from the top dairy feed suppliers live on May 28th at 1 p.m. Central. Reserve your free spot at dairynutritionblackbelt.com/summit. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University, and today I'm really happy to welcome to the show Samantha Rickard. Samantha, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Bradford. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Samantha is a nutritionist that works with Standard Dairy Consultants, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that looks like for her day to day and some of the tools she uses. So Samantha, if you could start with just giving us a little bit of your background, how did you get into dairy in the first place?
Yeah, so I grew up on my family's dairy farm in southern Wisconsin, small little farm, about 100 cow dairy, and my parents still milk cows. So, you know, I wanted to go back to milk cows. My parents were like, go get a career. So I did. My parents said, you're not going to Madison or Platteville because it was way too close. And they knew I would come home every weekend and milk cows. So my sister went to Iowa State. I visited her a couple times and I loved it. Loved the campus. It was beautiful. So kind of followed her, went to Iowa State, got my major in animal science and minor in Spanish. I actually didn't go home and milk cows, but I milked cows at the dairy farm, did some research under Dr. Lance Bumgard, helped his PhDs, and so milk cows there, and just focus on that dairy nutrition side and just love it.
That's cool. So did you step into this nutrition role right out of school then?
Actually, no. So kind of roundabout way, went to the career fair. I did my midlife crisis early on. So I actually worked for a swine company. Yeah. It's actually ABS's sister company on the swine side. So that was a great career for me to learn more in sales. And it was a great job right out of college. I actually was their supply chain account manager. So I flew to Canada, Ohio, Tennessee, about every week. Went in and out of hog barns crazy, but they really focused on the sales side and adding value to customers. Then during the swine, for a couple of years, I did that. I got a call asking me if I wanted to feed cows. And so absolutely, I missed dairy cows so much. You know, that's my passion in the first place, right? Everyone thought I was crazy to do the swine thing. But when you see that kind of money I could have made right out of college, it was enticing. And so I did that. And then they called me and I said, I would love to, but do you know where I live? I fell in love with a crop and beef farmer. So I live in southern Iowa, not many dairy cows down here, but they said, as long as you're able to travel, you could do it. And I said, absolutely. I mean, driving travel is nothing compared to getting on an airplane every week. So yeah, I've been doing that now for coming up on 5 years and I love it. I'm so happy that they called me and gave me a shot.
That's really cool. So is it PIC you work for?
Yes, Pig Improvement Company.
And they sell essentially replacement sows, right?
That's correct. Yep. So I was on the side where we were looking at selling the gilts to big farms. Yep. Sow farms.
I'm curious, and maybe the answer is nothing, but is there anything you learned in that role, you know, besides just general sales, I guess, and how to talk to people, but are there ideas you bring like, hey, the swine industry does this, we should think about things a little different maybe on the dairy side?
Consistency on feed is huge, right? Like on the dairy side. And then, you know, obviously the rumen is way different than a monogastric when it comes to feeding it. But like consistency, and then a huge thing is like disease. I think, you know, the swine industry and poultry industry really focus in on that. And I think the dairy industry, you know, especially with the whole, you know, avian influenza that's been talked about, you know. So I think that some of that for sure.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a big twist, isn't it?
No, it's good. I think it's, you know, getting some different experiences maybe helps you bring some different vantage points to the table in your role. Mm-hmm.
Cow Manager's unique ear sensor measures ear temperature combined with eating, rumination, and activity, resulting in more accurate and earlier alerts. With Cow Manager, you can catch sick cows days before they show clinical signs, never miss a heat, and unlock your herd's full potential. Cow Manager provides 24/7 real-time insights to help improve herd health, fertility, and overall performance. To learn more, contact your Cow Manager specialist at Select Sires or visit cowmanager.com.
Well, tell us a little bit then what it looks like for you in a given week. You're doing a lot of driving, I guess, and that's not too unusual for nutritionists out there. Walk us through a week.
Yeah. So usually I travel on Monday to Wednesdays. That way I can kind of get my feed samples back. And then usually Thursday, Fridays, I'm home doing rations. Yeah, I do drive a lot, but then I do take advantage of my drive time. So I call a lot of people and, my motto is like kind of like PIC is never stop improving. And that's kind of how I want to go about my job. So I call a lot of people during that. But day to day, you know, I show up to farms. I always let my farms know when I'm coming. I always try and be timely. You know, I do my bigger dairies. I do a lot of walkthrough reports. And then at the month end, I do monthly herd monitoring. So each month I put together, you know, go through their dairy comp or PC Dart or their feed software and kind of deep dive on looking at that. You know, I walk the cows, walk the pre-fresh, look at all the feed. You know, constantly as a nutritionist, right? You can just do nutrition, but I take pride in that. I do a lot more than that. You know, I look at the manure, I look at herd management constantly, what we can do to make that extra pound of solids, a pound of milk. And is also too, I'm big on preventing or looking ahead and preventative. And making sure that cow stays healthy. You know, I'm focused on cow longevity and productivity and kind of the future.
I know, you kind of already got at this, but a lot of nutritionists kind of see part of their role as being somebody who's kind of surveying for changes that are happening in the industry or, you know, maybe go to conferences and learn some new technology or something. Is that part of what you do? And do you have some examples maybe of some things you brought to farms that they hadn't thought about?
Yeah. So our company, I'm blessed to work with that. We have a couple technical support team too, that when there's new ideas or new things that come to the table, then, you know, they let us know. On top of, you know, I always trying to be in the top new things that are going on, but also on things that like have to make sense. Like the brand new research or new additive out there, I'm not just going to go jump on it. But, you know, a couple, like a new thing that I just learned last week, you know, on that. And again, I focus more on the dairy cows. I don't really feed cows, but I try to be added value throughout the whole farm. But the big thing now is calves. You know, they are big on four quarts colostrum constantly, right? Well, now it's, they say now we want 2 to 3 and they want to focus on more IgGs and get the calf to have a certain amount of IgGs, not total volume of colostrum. So something small like that. I think constantly keeping in the know. I know Central Plain is coming up. I plan on attending there too.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's good. Tell me a little bit about, different nutritionists or parts of, you know, how do I say this? Nutrition consulting groups are all structured a little bit different. What's it like being part of the group that you're in, Standard Nutrition?
So Standard you know, we're independent, which I think is what the industry is kind of more going towards, is independent consultants, which means, you know, we don't have products. We do have a plant in Bancroft that we make all of our vitamin trace minerals, and then we take that to toll mills. So it's unique where I can quote feed wherever the farmer wants or whatever, you know, feed mill, I think usually, you know, buys in extreme large quantities and books their feed really well. And then on top of it, we have in-house PhDs. So we have, our company has structure, and we are able to utilize those, you know, people who have extreme expertise and bring them to the farm if we have issues or we want to, you know, be better. The thing is very unique to us. And then, you know, we also have a lot of consultants out in Idaho and, you know, New York, and then also very heavily in Wisconsin and Green Bay area.
Okay. Well, you kind of talked about bringing more to the table than just formulating diets, right? And a tool that's become very common on dairy farms today is activity monitoring. So I thought we could dig into that a little bit today. And I know you've worked with some farms that use the specific tool called Cow Manager. First of all, if anybody's listening that isn't familiar with this, could you help us understand what that system does, what it is?
Yeah. So Cow Manager, best way to explain it, it's a tool to catch cows sick sooner or to look at trends. So it's a orange ear tag put in the ear. I think, you know, when it first came out, it was big into repro. Like people wanted to do it to catch cows in heat and to catch sick cows. And now they've evolved into, they have a really new, cool added tab onto it of the nutrition module, which is huge to look at rumination time, you know, look at the transition period. And they're actually even as well have like a cow, a calving system as well. So for me as a nutritionist, looking at that is cool to see, you know, I can beat a dead horse if I say, you know, cows need more feed pushups, cows are out of feed. This is a way to like show the farmer the trend and see the cow and her rumination and what happens during those times and what part of day that's happening at.
How does use of tools like that, maybe you could start with for like farm managers and herds people, how does that integrate into their daily work, or have you seen examples of where that's freed up later labor or made their work processes more streamlined?
Yeah, I think it's more of kind of to track farms, and you know, an owner has so much things going on, right? And so when you get like health alerts on Cow Manager for sick cows, or when you can go in there and look at, hey, why are the ruminations really down today? You can say, oh, because cows are out of feed or we're slug feeding. And it's an extra tool to look at so we can kind of monitor and get rid of those issues for the owner or herdsman too. You know, the herdsman can focus then on the feeder and try to make their job so they don't have as many sick cows, or focus on, you know, why butterfat dipped today, or, you know, milk production's down. And especially on that transition period, if all of a sudden we have a lot of transition issues, you know, what happened a week before she calved? Were all the cows out of feed? Was it just, you know, her? So I think just getting ahead and preventing those makes the farmers and herdsmen's jobs a lot easier, you know, in the long run.
I think about use of these monitoring tools kind of on two levels. One is just the sort of work list every day that usually the herdspeople are dealing with. But then you're kind of talking about some examples of using this almost in a diagnostic way for like herd level problems.
Yep.
Which I think not all farms do. So, you know, if you see, a spike in some transition problem, being able to look at these herd level metrics to say, do we have evidence of something that went wrong even a couple weeks ago in the close-up pen, maybe, for example. Do you have an example? Maybe you don't. Do you have an example of something that's like, wow, we found this, and it was because we had these monitoring tools that helped us actually dig through the data and find what the source was?
I think the biggest one is, you know, Dr. Bumgar did a great, you know, study on, there's so much inflammation actually at a cow's dry off than there is at freshening. And I think it's crazy the amount of cows that you actually will see now with Cow Manager and their nutrition module on dry cows and what they do at, you know, ruminating at a dairy. They said they've never looked at dry cows or treated so many dry cows after it because they didn't really know they were sick. And then another tool is actually, you know, my dairies who have it, when they have Cow Manager, when they treat a cow, they love seeing if they're treating her, if what they treated her with is working. And sometimes, you know, we treat because we think it's this. Well, then we look at her rumination or eating time and her behavior, and then it's not right, or they treated her correctly. And then all of a sudden, or again, and then all of a sudden they saw that trend get better with the cow. I think that's a really cool tool instead of, you know, we can treat and treat, but then we're not treating the right thing. And, you know, we can see that on the rumination, eating, and behavior, which I think is critical.
I've been talking with people a lot about these alerts in the dry pen, which, like you said, is a pretty new topic for most farms. You know, frankly, I don't have any research basis to tell people what to do about those. And so that's a discussion point with a lot of farms. You said people, you know, you have some farms that are treating those cows. I'm curious, what do they treat with? What are they doing for those cows?
Oh, sometimes it's just like a small infection, or it's actually like, you know, they had a little bit of mastitis, you know, in their udder, or, you know, so they treated her that way because they never, you know, you probably never would have, I mean, you don't milk the dry cow, right? So you don't know she had a mastitis, and she probably fights it off, and then she'll freshen it, and then she has a bunch of mastitis. So that, or like her eating, she just didn't transition onto the ration, right? It's a big change when you all of a sudden, you know, and I got a lot of cows, it's hard to dry off, right? I mean, they're still giving 90 pounds of milk, and my clients are like, I got to dry her off. Yeah. So, and then sometimes too, I've looked at like vaccinations. It's not really anything they treated her with, but maybe, you know, vaccinating too much at dry off. So we've done to vaccinating a week before dry off, right? And then that kind of helps dry her off a little easier. So there's not so much inflammation at that udder, and at that gut. So a couple drenches, you know, I've had a couple guys do drenches on their dry cows, which kind of seems counterintuitive, but get them back to eating again.
Gotcha. And those seem to be effective in some cases.
And they never would have known that without, right? So, yeah. Or, you know, they had a, you know, if they had a larger dairy, like abortions, right? In the 26 days prior to calving, like, why? What happened? We just think it's fluke. But if you look at her ruminations, like, clearly something was wrong with her. And then they're able to treat that, and like that incidence rate has dropped.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. It's funny you mentioned the moving vaccination off of dry off. I've been talking about that a lot in the last few months because there's a pretty nice paper that randomized cows to get vaccinations on the day of dry off, which is what the farm had been doing versus 10 days earlier. And then they followed those cows, and when they moved it off of dry off, those cows made 1,500 pounds more milk in the next lactation.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Yeah. You'll have to send me that paper so I can kind of.
That's from Shatow's group at Georgia. Okay. Really neat paper. What about, how do you use those kind of tools in heat stress? Or is that something you employ to try to assess whether cooling is effective or something like that?
I haven't had, for the nutrition module yet on Cow Manager, and my clients have not had it through the summer yet. So I'm really excited to see that for this summer. Because they got it last kind of September, you know, but heat stress on just without the ruminations as much would be, you know, the health events. But it's crazy, you know, you can also correlate with temperature, right? So obviously when it gets hot out, ruminations go down. And then a big one is like eating. You know, I'd rather actually in the summertime when it gets really hot, I'd rather keep the cow a little hungry than give her too much feed. I think feed software kind of goes in with that. So we can kind of, you know, we see a heat. No, it was super hot, like 111 heat index. The cows are not going to eat what they did, but I still want to get enough vitamins, minerals, starch, energy to get that into the cow. So we kind of, you know, concentrate that more to kind of get rid of the ebbs and flows of the heat stress and then get them back. You know, some barns, I can see that a lot better than others on their ventilation, tunnel vent barns. You know, the cows recover a lot sooner than ones without. So just seeing the trends and then, you know, what the temperature does to and kind of correlate that with what the cows are eating too, if they have feed software, really helps.
Can you talk through, I should have maybe asked earlier, but you mentioned the the nutrition module, I think that's the right terminology, with the monitoring cow manager tool. What are the actual metrics it gives you there? Does it tell you, oh, here's what they're eating, or what does it tell you?
So the nutrition module actually goes with the cow against herself. So what she was doing, and then also the herd. And then you can compare her to, like, if she dry off, right? You can compare her to all the other cows that dry off, and then you can, or vice versa, right? Compare her to each individual group, you know, each lactation. You know, you can look at her compared to the other, just the heifers. If you have a heifer and she's not, you know, middle lactation, you can compare her just to heifers, or just in like third lactation cow, just to all the third plus. So that's cool too, that you can not only compare her to the herd, but then her against herself, and then look at the highs and the lows. So there's kind of a, her ruminations, and then the best cows and the worst cows. And the goal is to get that metric to be the closest together. So you have less, right, cows in this wide range. So keeping that consistent, and then keeping the ruminations consistent throughout her whole lactation, and looking at, you know, if you have a different ration, right? Like far off ration for a milk cow, you can kind of see like what happened to rumination. Did she dip, go up? And then same thing too, like the transition, you know, 30 days if you have a fresh cow ration versus, you know, a high cow ration. So that's nice too, that, or like if you have a heifer ration, you can just compare her with all the heifers and see what she's doing within that group.
That makes a lot of sense. I like one thing you said is your goal is to shrink the variation among cows within a herd, right? Which makes total sense to me, but it's maybe not obvious to me where you would start. If you say, okay, the range in this herd is really wide, what do you as a nutritionist or a management advisor, consultant, what do you look at to tweak that?
So I would look at if it's within the whole herd or each group. So is there so much variation, because do they get always fed last and they've been running out of feed? So the ruminations dip. Are they slug feeding them? Are they all of a sudden they're out of feed and then they feed them, and then next day they have tons of feed and then they still feed them? So kind of looking at that, looking at would they have ate the feed if there was a feed push up? Like, are they just not pushing up the feed enough? Would be another, you know, to look at. And then another nice aspect is looking at the feed software, like what dry matter intake are they eating for? What were they supposed to eat? So I think, you know, getting rid of the slug feeding or the, you know, adding another push up. You know, I do a lot of camera work, which I love, but sometimes my clients who don't have cameras, some do, it's not instant, right? I put a camera up and then I put it up there for 14 days and then I take it down. It's not instantaneous. With Cow Manager and other technology, I'm able to get that instantly. I mean, right, 14 days with cows, that's a long time. And it takes 14 days, right, to change the rumen. So if we wait that long, you know, we have more sick cows or more issues where I can get ahead of it a lot sooner.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I do think the cameras are really useful, but like you said, I mean, just even reviewing them to gather your insights takes a lot of time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had a producer joke like, well, this makes your job easier. I said, it sure does. I mean, having technology like this does make my job easier, but it also makes me more efficient, and then makes me able to focus on other things and get better for the client too.
Yeah.
So it does make my job easier, but then you could also argue it makes my job harder, right? When there's swings or things going on, like it puts more pressure on me, but I enjoy. I mean, I want that, right? I mean, I want my producer. I love data. I think data is superior to experience. You know, I don't want anecdotal. I want facts. And if we can't measure it, why are we doing it, right? So I think that's what's huge with even nutrition and the cow eating and just the cow in general. I mean, we have so much information on her. It's challenging, and that's what I like.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? Bow the Sync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BobiSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Safe, simple, stop lack. Contact AHV for comfortable dry cow care. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. Typical fresh cow incidence of clinical hypocalcemia is 3 to 6%, while subclinical hypocalcemia affects 50% or more mature cows. Based on cutting-edge research, Exelite offers a new approach that is build effective and the ZDUs. For more information, visit www.protecta.com.
All right, Samantha, are you ready for these three big questions?
Go ahead, shoot.
This is the pressure. This is compared to working for your farm. This is way more pressure. All right. So what's your favorite dairy related book or resource?
The resource would actually be my team, my coworkers. I work with some of the best nutritionists, I believe, out there. You know, our tech team is phenomenal. Dr. Brian Strang is one of the, you know, top notch nutritionists out there. I mean, when he does a ration and digs through things, I mean, he's taught me a lot. And then also the flip side, Kelly Cunningham, he milks 3,000 cows. That man knows his cost of production down to a T. And I think that is huge when it comes to looking at, for any producer should like look up to that. And, you know, that's how you get better.
Fair enough. All right. What about your favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
The book, The Cherry on Top, by Steve Gilliland. It's about adding value to people and myself. And I think that book just spoke a lot to me, because as a nutritionist, I look at myself more than that. And I want to continually adding value to my clients personally, professionally, and, you know, and the cows. Like, that, it's a really good book. I highly recommend anyone read it. It's a very easy read, but the small things add up, and just appreciating that and like kindness and adding value to that client, I think, is detrimental. So,
all right. That's a new book to me. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
That. Mm-hmm. All right. Last question. In your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are less successful?
My dairy professionals and my dairy producers that are not complacent. I know they constantly, you know, we got 7 pounds of solids. How do we get 7.5? How do we get 8? You know, those dairy producers are constantly striving to be more successful and get better. I mean, you know, 8-10 years ago, milk price was the same as it is today. But, you know, labor costs, cost of production, equipment, it's all gone up. And we need to get better and, you know, get more efficient. And, you know, what's that other, how we can get that extra 1/2 pound of milk? And it's challenging when producers do that, but I enjoy it. And I love working with those people, because they truly want to get better. And that's what I want too for the dairy. You know, sometimes, you know, my producers joke that I care more than them sometimes. And they're like, Samantha, that's okay, you know, but I take my job too seriously sometimes and treat every farm like my own. So those successful producers are doing a great job. And I appreciate them.
It's a great attitude. Yeah. I mean, most of my nutritionist friends, really what frustrates them the most is the farms that are just kind of like, oh, okay, that's your three pieces of advice again. Okay, I'm not going to do any of them, right? That gets pretty tiring.
Yeah, I try to like do, if I come up to farms, you know, I work on the big things first and like small things. And then I constantly do other small things later on. If I go in there and like do 5-10 things, it overwhelms them. And I get that.
Yep.
But it's fun to work with those herds who constantly challenge you and, you know, want to make them better and me better. So.
Well, it's been a fun conversation. Again, Samantha, Rickard, thank you for joining us today. It's been enjoyable.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Bradford. Appreciate it.
This has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. And if you haven't followed the show or liked it, make sure you click the button so you don't miss the next episode. And we'll see you then.
feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.